Our reading today is from Luke chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 18 to the end of the chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but But from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Matt, for the reading. It's a nice long reading. We're going to need God's help to understand some of it. We won't understand it all this morning. We're going to look at one aspect. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. O God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses Christ is Lord. Amen. Do you sometimes not understand Jesus? Is the joy missing because you don't know why you should be joyful? On Friday night, we sang, "There is none like you" in our home group. Suffering children are safe in your hands. Or in German, for we sang in German, Kinder mit Wunden sind sicher bei dir. We had a fight in my class on Friday and a safeguarding issue. As Phil Collins says, just another day in paradise. In chapter 7, verse 18, Luke chapter 7, verse 18, John doesn't understand Jesus. Yes, John struggled too. John baptized Jesus. John heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. John declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He heard the voice of God. In verse 29 of our reading, Jesus calls him the greatest of the prophets. Struggling to understand Jesus is okay. Even John struggled. In fact, Jesus says in verse 23, he uses the word stumbling. We have it translated offended. We're looking at chapter 7, verses 18 to 15. Actually, just to open up one verse, it's verse 32. In verse 32, we do not meet people stumbling. We meet people who will not move at all. Verse 32, they are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, we played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you didn't weep. It's a game. Some children play the music and others should follow with the right actions, but they're being grumpy and they won't play. So how do we move from being those who refuse, verse 32, or those who are stumbling, verse 23, to dancing? I'm working on this question of childlike faith in Luke at the moment. There's three things that got me thinking. The first was a long time ago, a lecture here by Professor Herzer in 2003, up in the faculty. The second was a really half-baked talk of my own given in this very place in 2013. And the last thing that really got me thinking was a comment by a friend in 2018. It's really been bothering me, and it's not been an easy process. In fact, Julian can tell you, hi Gillian, Gillian can tell you this is not the talk on this passage I gave at GLM. It's completely different. I'm still very much working on this, so bear with me. The first question I want to quickly answer is, why do all of 7:18 to 50 to help us understand one verse? Well, 7:18 to 35 is obviously one unit, isn't it? It's one event. Jesus answering John the Baptist's question and then talking to the crowds about John. But there's also a unit in 7:31 to 50, overlapping. It's a parallel unit to Luke 10, 21, 42, and 18, 15 to 19, 10. And I've got a little table to help. You won't be able to read it. It's too small. But as you could see from this table, if it was bigger, all three are fairly similar. There's a word about children. And then there's a Pharisee or similar contrasted with another person. There's always a meal involved. Adults modeled to us the childlike faith, two women, two men, and Pharisees modeled to us the alternative. So Luke embeds these words about children in narrative that explains them. Now this matters. Listening to Jesus means listening to the text. We don't read the verse, stare at the ceiling, and use stereotypes about children to understand Jesus. We read the text, the whole text, and Luke gives us clues as to how much we need to read. So let's do that. I think the big point is here, listen and join in. Listen and join in like the children in this game. Here's three steps then to dancing. And the first one is listen to the prophet. Listen to the prophet. This is verses 7, 18 to 23. Remember, John was confused. Verse 19, are you the one who is to come or shall we look for another? John wants to be sure that Jesus is the real deal. And the question gets passed on in verse 20, and Jesus answers in verse 22. John read it for us at the beginning of the service. It's a lovely verse. Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Why doesn't Jesus just say yes? On one level, he's saying, look at the evidence. Just look around you, all the miracles I'm doing. But Jesus wants John to listen to the prophet Isaiah. He echoes Isaiah chapters 35 and 61, where we see what the real Messiah will do. And Jesus fits the picture. He is God's promised Messiah, the King to heal the world. And he's showing his ID card. His miracles. The miracles that were promised. Jesus sometimes makes us stumble. We can't quite dance the dance because we're not sure he's the real deal. Sometimes, in fact, he offends us. Perhaps you're not a Christian. Consider this. How likely is it that a man would be born, live, do miracles, die, and rise again, just as predicted centuries earlier? Jesus did. That argues very powerfully for his being your God and King, and you owe him your allegiance. Perhaps you're like John, you believe in Jesus, but he's just not doing what you expect. Maybe you're stuck in a dark place too. He was stuck in prison. And you want the blessing of joyful, dancing faith, but you're stumbling. Jesus takes John to Isaiah. Look, he is the one promised. He is the one promised. He will make God's plan succeed. In verse 32 terms, remember who it is who's making the music. It is worth joining in. So John's people head off, and Jesus turns to the crowds. And his point to them is, listen to one more than a prophet. Jesus talks about John. Now, note that he assumes in verse 24 that they had gone out to John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothes and live in luxury are in king's courts. Did you go out to see a man whose opinions changed daily? A man blown by every wind of culture? A man who bends his message to fit his hearers? No, they didn't. Did they go to the cultural elite? Did they seek the opinions of the movers and shakers of their day? No, they didn't. John's very clothes spoke of his rejection of the dominant culture, and John was unbending in his message. That's why the palace people put him in prison. John preached impending judgment. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. John came at the people who came to him with a hard message. He told them they were vipers, snakes. They looked to him like the chief snake, Satan, the liar, the hater, the murderer, the rebel against God. And John demanded action. Not folded arms and impatient criticism. Action. Baptism. Changed life. To speak with verse 32, he demanded they dance to his tune. And it was a hard song. A dirge, verse 32, is a funeral song. He sang that they needed to die, either drowned in the waters of baptism and raised to new life, or at the hands of the judge of all the earth. And look at verses 26 to 28 of our reading. If you don't like John's message, Jesus sets his seal of approval on it. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? I tell you, yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. The same scriptures that spoke of Jesus spoke of John. So Jesus gives him his seal of approval. He even says he is here. He says, yet they tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. And he goes further. Look at verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. How does John prepare Jesus' way? Well, verses 29 and 30 tell us. Oh, look at them. Then when all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John, But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purposes of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. You see, some listened to John's hard message and feared and were baptized. These went on to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees sneered at John. They thought themselves above the message. What had they to fear from the judgment of God? In verse 32 language, they did not weep at John's dirge. They were certain they were the good people. Not like the sinners and tax collectors who might need this, John. According to your taste. Not like the drug dealers or the arms dealers. Not like the industrialists or the climate activists. Not like the AFD or the Greens. Not like the Democrats or the Republicans. Not like the Conservatives or the Progressives. No. Not like them. We're the good ones. We don't need this. We don't need to weep at our sin, they said. John just saw vipers. He called all to turn around, to stop rejecting God's purposes and listen to God. Do you struggle to understand Jesus? Do you struggle to get excited about Jesus? Have you listened to John? Do you know how serious the issue of sin and judgment is? Or are you satisfied with you? You think you're good. The problem is the others. How easy it is to fall into that trap and not realize, because we're so captured by the cultural moment, just how many sins we commit without even realizing it. And to say nothing of the ones we know ourselves. Or to justify our sins and blame another for what's actually our own fault. No one matches God's standards. No one can come near his holy perfection. No one stand in his judgment. And when we understand that, when we understand John's tune, the heart song, we long for another. Has anyone a different song for me? And that's what makes Jesus exciting. If you've listened to John, listen to the one much more than a prophet. This is verses 36 to 50. Jesus finishes speaking in verse 35, and a Pharisee invites him for dinner. It seems from verse 49 it was quite a party. The local Pharisees meeting up with the new teacher. But someone is there who knows exactly who he is. She hears that he's in town and takes her chance. She gets her richest treasure and heads off. She knows the host will not welcome her. She tries to remain outside the circle of the guests. If you imagine that everyone was lying at the table, their heads at the table, their feet would have been stuck out behind them, and she's at the feet, outside the circle of guests. And then it just all bursts out of her. Verse 38, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The Pharisee does nothing. Just note that. He's inactive. And she is very active. The Pharisee thinks, not a prophet. She treats him as much more than a prophet. Now, Jesus knows Simon's thoughts, and in verse 40, he challenges them. Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?
Easy.
Oh, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And notice how Jesus now puts the woman in the middle of the action. In verse 44, he turns to her. Every gaze follows his. Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. Perhaps we should say in German, you gave me no handshake. You gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. But she has anointed my feet with ointment. He does nothing. She does everything she can think of. To use again the language of verse 32, he won't listen and he won't dance. She's already danced her socks off and her hair is a complete mess. Why is she so excited? Why is she so full of emotion that she can't keep it in? Verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Follow the logic. Verses 40 and 41 and 42 show love flows from forgiveness. The debtors love because their debts are forgiven. Her sins are many. John's message told her that. She knows she's one of the vipers. But she's forgiven. Jesus says it to her directly. I don't doubt she came all the way and faced all the pain of that difficult meeting with all those Pharisees just to hear him say this. Your sins are forgiven. Pharisee's done nothing. Jesus doesn't say it to him. He does not hear these words. Knowing she was a sinner, led her to Jesus. She wept at John's message. She knew it was for her. And she brings her tears with her to Jesus so he could dry them. I am fascinated by the ointment. The Greek word is myrrh, for anointing the dead. Did she hear John say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Did she grasp how much Jesus would do to win her forgiveness? Did her mind's eye see Jesus dying for her? For me? For you? Taking the judgment of God in our place. Jesus gave her the word she believed he would say, your sins are forgiven. Perhaps she grasped how much that cost him. You and I, with hindsight, certainly can. You see, you and I are in verse 32. We're on that marketplace. And John and Jesus are playing their music, playing the funeral song of your sins, playing the dance song of Jesus' forgiveness. Are you trying to dance and stumbling? Are you confused like John? Then listen to the prophet Isaiah and remember who this Jesus is. It's his tune. He may play it. And because he is who he is, whatever you're facing it with him. You can follow along in confidence. Are you on the sidelines? Your arms folded. I'm not weeping at that dirge. That funeral song of condemnation is for you. You need to be buried in the waters of baptism, or you will be buried under the wrath of God on Judgment Day. Or are yours tears? Do you feel John's song of judgment? Do you know that's you? That's when Jesus' song makes most sense. That's when Jesus' song, his dance music, breaks in and we want to join in. We have the joy of knowing the burden gone, the sins forgiven. John already said it at the end of confession, where it belongs. I'm going to say it again. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you set your seal of approval on John the Baptist's hard words. But you came, our God, with full authority to heal, the King appointed by God, to speak these words to all who come to you. Your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Thank you. That when we see and when we hear the problem and see it is ours, that you have this wonderful new song for us, the song of forgiveness, the dance of forgiveness. Thank you for the joy that that can bring. Pray for any here who currently stumble, who are not sure who you are, who stumble in this. Help them to listen to the old prophets and marvel that you fully fit their description. Pray for any here who are hard of heart and will not hear the hard word that John brings, that you would soften their hearts. And for all of us, we pray, please say again and again and again to our hearts, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. May that be the joy that carries us through every week. Amen.